In the Puranas, it is said that the forest of Kamban will fulfill the innermost desire of the soul. Even the demigods, but to speak of human beings, their desires will be fulfilled by coming to the sacred forest of Kamyavan. By the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, we have learned what desire we should pray to fulfill. The desire for pure devotional service. For the fulfillment of any other desire will only bring about eventual frustration in our life. The devotees of the Lord, they pray to please Krishna. This is the common theme which is illustrated by the lives of all of our great Vaishnavas. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami are living here in Vrindavan. And they would speak the divine subject matters of the Leela of the Lord, sometimes throughout the day and throughout the night. One time, as they were speaking, they became so much immersed that they completely forgot about eating or sleeping. A beautiful young girl came and said that, "I have heard that you have not eaten in a long time. You are so engrossed in this harikatha. I have brought some milk, some rice, some sugar. You can make nice kheer." But they just continued speaking the glories of Vrindavan. So the little girl, seeing how much engrossed they were, she herself personally collected the ingredients for making a fire. She personally put all the ingredients in pot and cooked it and gave it to Sri Rupa Goswami. Sri Rupa Goswami, he then offered to his spiritual master, Sanatan Goswami. When Sanatan Goswami tasted it, it was so nectarine. Never had he ever tasted anything so nectarine. Tears were flowing from his eyes, his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling. He couldn't understand what is coming into my heart just by every taste of this paramana. He asked Rupa Goswami, "Please tell me, where did you get this?" He explained, "Little girl has come. She has given to me. I'm offering it to you. Can you describe the qualities of this little girl?" As he was explaining what she looked like, they both came to the realization that she was Srimati Radharani. Sanatan Goswami became very much sad in his heart, ecstatic, but sad. Sad that, "Rupa Goswami, you have engaged Srimati Radharani in our service. We have come to this land of Braja to serve her. It is our aspiration in life to be the servant of the servant of her servants. And yet she is collecting wood, and she is lighting fires, and she is preparing this just for us. This is very bad. We should never want to take anything from Sri Radharani. We should only want to serve her." So as they were thinking like this, they began to both weep in a sense of regret, but at the same time, the taste of that sweet rice was so nice that they kept drinking it and drinking it. They'd take a sip and they'd weep and cry, and fall to the ground and regret, how have we accepted this service from Srimati Radharani? Then they'd take another sip and they did this throughout the day. But through this story, we find that a devotee's prayer is not what Krishna will do for us, but what we will do for Krishna. Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vaja gadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti ravaiti ki twari. I do not want money. The world is mad after money, for any wealth that money can buy. Nor do I want the association of beautiful women, or the fame and prestige that so much people steal, borrow, kill to achieve. Nor do I even want liberation from all the sufferings of this world. Yesterday we have done Govardhan Parikrama. Some sufferings may have been there. The thorns in our feet. One great Vaishnav, he prayed that the pleasure of Brahman realization multiplied billions and billions of times does not compare to the feeling that I experience when the thorns of Braja enter into my feet. This is how much he is appreciating the opportunity for devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I do not want any of these things. I only want your loving devotional service, birth after birth after birth. At Kamyavan, our desires will be fulfilled. This should be our desire. Na janam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavata bhakti rahaitiki. For pure devotional service, for the selfless desire to please the Lord and satisfy His devotees. If we earnestly and honestly pray for this, by the mercy of Brinda Devi, we will achieve it. By her. The six Goswamis lived in various parts of Braja. One time, when Rupa Goswami was living in Vrindavan, he had a vision where Brinda Devi appeared to him and revealed that she, in her deity form, was hidden in Brahmakund. So Srila Rupa Goswami excavated Sri Brahmakund and there found this beautiful deity of Brinda Devi. She was originally installed by Vajranab approximately 5,000 years ago. There are four devas, four devis, and four Mahadevas in Braja. The four devas, as Dinabandhu Prabhu explained yesterday, is Govinda Dev in Vrindavan, Hari Dev in Govardhan, Daoji in Mahavan, and Keshavji in Mathura. These are the four prominent Deva deities installed by Braja. And the four, there's actually five Mahadevas. There is Kameshwar Mahadev here in Kamban, which we will be visiting in a few minutes. There is Gopeshwar Mahadev in Vrindavan, Bhuteshwar Mahadev in Mathura, and there is Chakaleshwar Mahadev at Govardhan, and Nandeshwar Mahadev at Nandagaon. And the four devis are Manasi Devi, who resides on the banks of Manasi Ganga at Govardhan, and Patalishwari Devi in Mathura, and Yogamaya, and Brinda Devi here in Kamivan. When Rupa Goswami discovered this deity, he installed her in the Radha Govinda temple in Vrindavan. And there he personally worshipped her. Later on, the great conqueror Aurangzeb came to Vrindavan, and he was destroying temples, killing Vaishnavas, destroying deities. So the Vaishnavas were in a very helpless condition. From the material point of view, Aurangzeb had very, very powerful militaries coming in to do his work. But the king of Jaipur, who was a very, very sincere devotee of the six Goswamis and their deities, he decided to take them to Jaipur for protection. So, on bullock carts, he brought the deities of Sri Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, and Radha Govindaji temples, Brinda Devi also. On their way to Jaipur, they came to Kamyavan. Kamyavan is one of the 12 forests of Vrindavan. Here they stopped for 3 nights, and they continued their journey. However, on the morning they were to continue, Madan Mohan's cart went on schedule. Radha Gopinath's cart went on schedule. Radha Govindaji's cart went on schedule. But Brinda Devi's cart would not move. They tried everything and anything, but it would not move. Then Brinda Devi revealed herself to the pujaris that, "I wish not to leave Vrindavan. Krishna is the Lord of the universe, but I am the goddess of Vrindavan. Please do not take me from Vrindavan." So since that very time, she has been residing here at the Radha Govinda temple in Kamvan. In fact, the places where these three sets of deities rested in Kamvan, they installed the Pratibhumurtis here and also a temple to commemorate their visit. And they are eternally Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, and Brinda Devi are eternally residing here in Kamyavan. There's a very nice little booklet that this dear Goswamiji of the temple has printed. And it is explaining for the Sri Brinda Devi Astakam by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. I'd like to read this for you. O Brinda, whose very self is showered with a current of beauty, which defeats the golden splendor of the champak flower, we offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. O Brinda, whose lips and face are shining like red bimba fruits, who smiles slightly, and whose nose pearl sparkles brightly, your beauty is enhanced by wonderful jeweled ornaments. We offer obeisances unto your lotus feet. O Brinda, the care of Sri Krishna's opulent abode of Sri Vrindavan, the crest jewel of all Vaikunthas, has been given by the daughter of King Vrishabhanu to you. We offer obeisances at your lotus feet. O Brinda, upon your order, Madhava's play gardens are adorned with leaves, flowers, bees, and dripping honey. We offer obeisances unto your lotus feet. O Brinda, through your arrangements, Radha and Krishna who are very eager to play in the Nikunj, have their desires fulfilled. Who can describe your good fortune? We offer obeisances unto your lotus feet. O Brinda, only by your grace can one obtain desired service to the lotus feet of your mistress during the Ras festival in Vrindavan. We offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. O Brinda, those who know the Satpata Tantra describe you as Krishna's own partial potency. In this world you appear as Tulsi Devi. We offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. O Brinda, because of hundreds and thousands of offenses and being devoid of devotion, we have been thrown amidst the waves of lust and other vices. O merciful one, we take shelter of you. We offer our obeisances unto your lotus feet. Anyone who, like a honey bee at the lotus feet of the Lord of Vrindavan, hears or recites this astakam, attains eternal residence in Vrindavan, and becomes blessed with Sri Krishna's loving service. Vrinda Devi is an expansion of Srimati Radharani, and she is orchestrating the whole land of Vrindavan to make pleasing arrangements for the pastimes of Radha, Krishna, and their devotees. She has so many millions of parrots that are flying around Vrindavan, all sending messages to one another. And it's like in our yatra, you see Radha, Krishna, and Abhi Ram with their little machines. Even Dinabandhu Prabhu is holding one now. Trying to somehow or other make nice arrangements for the yatra. But they have a much higher technology. Parrots, who are all pure, unalloyed, all-knowing devotees, who are flying place to place, place to place, giving all information to Brinda Devi and dispatching information. She is creating the seasons, the particular flowers in the trees, the particular fragrances that they emanate. She is assembling different of the pure-hearted animals, the peacocks and the deers, to be in various places at various times, just for the pleasure of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. And gopas and gopis, they are all ultimately under the direction of Brinda Devi to orchestrate a wonderful, wonderful stage performance by which Radha and Krishna can enter and enjoy. This is the most ancient, prominent deity of Brinda Devi in all of the world. There is another very special temple of Brinda Devi at Brinda Kunj near Nandagaon, Brinda Kund. And we are very fortunate that Dinabandhu Prabhu, who is her very sincere servant, is with us today to explain some of the beautiful qualities of the devotional service of Brinda Devi. Brinda Devi expands herself as Tulsi Devi. Tulsi Devi in Vaikuntha, as well as in this material world, bestows pure love of God upon those who approach her with sincere feeling. And the land of Vrindavan is the forest which is under the divine direction of Brinda Devi. So, Dinabandhu Prabhu, we are very grateful that you have come. Hare Krishna. This is the temple of Kameshwar Mahadev. one of the four principal deities of Lord Shiva, installed by Vajranav. Vrishabhanu Maharaj and Kirtida Mataji came here to Kamyavan and worshipped this deity of Kameshwar Mahadev for children. And in answer to their prayers, Srimati Radharani became their beloved daughter. So we should also, when we come before Kameshwar Mahadev, we should very sincerely, humbly pray that the mercy of Srimati Radharani, we can develop a real love for Vrindavan and a real enthusiasm for devotional service. In Murari Gupta's Kadacha, there it describes when Murari Gupta's notebooks, when Mahaprabhu did Dakshin Bharat Yatra, it describes, I can't remember the name of the place, that Mahaprabhu entered into one Shiva Mandir. And immediately upon taking darshan of Lord Shiva, he composed one Shivastakam. So this Shivastakam is composed directly by the mouth of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And two very wonderful verses are there. One is my very favorite verse. Anyway, Sri Rama Govinda Mukunda Shore, Sri Krishna Narayana Vasudeva, Ityadi Nama Amrita Panamatya, Bringadipaya Kiladukahantre. That's Rama Govinda Mukunda Shore, Krishna Narayana Vasudev, Ityadi Namamrita Panamata. Lord Shiva's always absorbed in drinking the Namamrit of these names. Ityadi Namamrita Panamata. Bringadi Paya. He's just like a bringi, this bumblebee, drinking the nectar. He's completely just like this. Bringi. He's so much, this bumblebee, he becomes so much absorbed, especially if he finds a lotus flower. He just goes on drinking, he becomes so absorbed in drinking that nectar, even the petals close around him in the evening, he just goes on drinking. Even he knows he's going to die when those petals close, he's so much absorbed. So he's just, Lord Shiva is just like that bumblebee. He doesn't care that he's going to die, he just goes on drinking that nectar. So like that. So he's offering his obeisances unto that Lord Shiva, who's? Akila Dukahantre, who's relieving the miseries of the whole universe. Then the final verse in Astika is Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya Tatapranataya Rasa Pradaya Sada Samutkanta Govinda Lila Gana Pravinaya Namostatubhyam. So this is my favorite verse I sing every time before talking. He says, Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya. He's the Mangal Utsav of Gauri's eyes. Tat Prananataya. He's the Lord of her life. And Rasa Pradaya. He's bestowing Ras. How? Sada, always. Sada Samut Kanta, with great longing, great feeling, Sada Samukanta Govinda Leela, Gana Praveena. He's very expert in chanting Govinda Leela with great longing. Unto that Lord Shiva I offer my humble obeisances. Sri Gauri Netrotsava Mangalaya Tat Prananataya Rasa Pradaya Sada Samutkanta Govinda Leela Gana Pravinaya Namostatuvyam.
As you know, now we always need the permission of higher personalities to go to back to Krishna, actually. Just when you want to visit maybe a famous person, it is good to establish a contact to his secretary so that by the secretary's special management you can see that personality. So Lord Shiva is the entrance of Vrindavan as Gopeshwara, and he is the one who will allow us entrance into that highest of Vaishnav destinations, is to dance with Krishna, to be with Krishna. And here is a verse from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in his work Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, to this Gopeshwara. Brinda Vavani Pate Jaya Soma Mole Sanaka Sanandana Sanatana Nara Ditya Gopeshwara Bracha Vilasi Yugangri Padme Prema Prayatsya Nirupari Namo Namaste. Because we are all struck by the arrow of tiredness, now, I would like to give you a little relief by encouraging you to repeat after me this wonderful verse. O gatekeeper of Vrindavan.
O gatekeeper of Vrindavan.
O Soma Shiva, all glories to you.
O Soma Shiva, all glories to you.
O you.
O you.
Whose forehead
is decorated with the moon,
and who is worshipable for the sages headed by Sanakana, Sanandana, Sanatana, and Narada. O Gopeshwara, desiring that you bestow upon me prema, for the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Madhava, who perform joyous pastimes in Brajadham, I offer pranams unto you, time and time again. So the Lord Shiva is worshipable by the greatest saints, because it is acknowledged that he is Gopeshwara, the one who is at the gate of Vrindavan and allows us entrance. Lord Shiva Mahadeva ki
jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Go Premanandi Hari
Go. And of course all of us know that famous verse from Brahma Samhita, so we can all say it together.
Shiram yada dadhikara vishesha yoga sanjayate nahitata prishtakasti heto yesham mutam apitata samupaiti karya govindamadi purusham maham bhajami.
Proceed to Bimalkund by a forest path. Just to the left, just behind here, is a place. You remember in Mahabharata that everyone became very thirsty when they came to this Kamyavan forest. When they entered this Kamyavan forest, they're very thirsty. And Yudhishthira, he sent Nakula. He didn't come back. He sent Sahadeva. We all know they went there. A voice said, "Don't drink the water, you'll die." They drank anyway. When Yudhishthira came, he saw all his brothers dead. The voice said, "Don't drink or you'll meet the same fate." He was about to drink and he said, "All right, where are you? I can't see you." So Yaksha appeared on the tree. And that very famous part of Mahabharata, Yaksha Prashan, that took place just behind here. So we don't have time to go see all these places. There's just a tiny little one-way path there. So just be aware that this is where that Dharmakund is, where that Yaksha Prashna took place.
Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Radhe, Jaya Sri Radhe,
Jaya Radhe,
Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Krishna, Jaya Shri Krishna. Prabhupada, 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 Prabhupada. Sibima Kunti Jai, Kishiko Nitai Ki Jai.
Before beginning, I'd like to introduce one very illustrious Vaishnava, Kaustubha Prabhu. He's one of the very dedicated devotees of our Guru Maharaj's mission. In fact, he is something like Minister of Sankirtan and Books Distribution for North America. And he also conducts very, very wonderful seminars to teach people, to teach devotees how to love and serve other Vaishnavas in the role of management and leadership. Kaustubha Prabhu, can you stand up, please? Everyone, let us welcome you very enthusiastically. To Yavat, sitting under this beautiful copper bhriksha tree. It is our great fortune to have the opportunity to try to remember and glorify the illustrious sanctity of this place. The six Goswamis of Vrindavan have written quite elaborately the importance of this holy place in the transcendental pastimes of Sri Radha Krishna in Braj Bhumi. We know that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer of all living beings. Bhaktaram jagatapasam sarva lokamaheshwaram. That he is the proprietor of everything and everything is meant for his enjoyment. In Vrindavan, everything and everyone is simply existing for the pleasure of Krishna. Sometimes people wonder, why does God steal butter? Makan chur. His devotees weep and cry in great ecstasy when they hear of Krishna stealing butter. Now in this material world, if you are a thief, you are considered to be a criminal who must be punished. Because if you take something that belongs to someone else for your own enjoyment, that is a great sin. But is it actually possible for Krishna to steal? He is the proprietor of everything that exists. So the butter belongs to him. He's not stealing, he's just claiming his property. However, if somebody just comes and claims their property, there's nothing very fascinating or enjoyable to the mind to hear about that. But when the Supreme Lord takes the form of a small baby child and steals and goes through all sorts of wonderful strategic methods with his friends just to get that butter, it brings great enjoyment not only to the hearts of all the listeners of this pastime, but to the hearts of all the participants in this pastime. So Krishna is Rasaraj, Rasa Bihari, who takes great pleasure in intimate ecstatic exchanges of rasa with his people. Similarly, Krishna is the husband of all gopis. His name is Gopinath, Gopipati. However, just for the sake of making his loving pastimes with his beloved gopis more ecstatically enriched with divine emotions, he performs the Parakya Rasa, where it appears it's a game pretending that they're not really married. Hare Krishna. So to facilitate this Parakya Rasa, this place, Javad, is very, very important. That is why the six Goswamis headed by Rupa and Sanatana, Jiva, they glorified this place with many, many great poetic expressions. When Krishna was just young, cowherd boy in Vraja, one day, it was actually on Balaram's appearance day, he was sitting on bank of Jamuna taking prasad with his friends when Lord Brahma stole the calves and later stole all the gopas as well. For one full year, Lord Brahma had hidden the gopas and the calves in a mystic slumber. Meanwhile, Lord Krishna, not wanting to create any type of anxiety for the Vrijavasis, he personally expanded himself as each and every calf and each and every gopa, so identically that no one even considered the possibility that there was any difference. They lived throughout the year, the cows, the mothers, the fathers of the gopas and the calves. The only difference they experienced is they could not understand why they felt such intensified ecstasy for their children. They loved their children for the first time as much as they loved Krishna himself. We know Maharaj Parikshit, he was greatly amazed, and he asked Sukadeva Goswami, how is it possible that anyone could love someone else's child more than their own child? This is unprecedented. Sukadeva explained that because Krishna is the beloved super soul in everyone's heart, he is the ultimate object of everyone's love. It is only by the part and parcel emanation of Krishna in everyone's heart that anyone becomes attractive in any way. Krishna is all attractive. So in Vrindavan, everyone loved their children, but they loved Krishna most. But for this full year, they loved their children with the same ecstasy that they loved Krishna. You see, all of the gopas, or gopis, and all of the cows, they would long in their heart that Mother Yashoda is so fortunate to have Krishna as her child. If only I could love Krishna as my child. In Vrindavan, everyone's desires are fulfilled. So Krishna fulfilled all the mothers and personally, directly became their children and accepted the milk from their breasts. During that year, Krishna wanted to also satisfy the younger gopis, who prayed to Krishna, who prayed that Krishna could become their husbands. Vrindavan is Chintamani Dham. Everyone's desires are perfectly fulfilled. You want to be Krishna's mother, you want to be Krishna's wife, Krishna will fulfill all your desires. So Krishna told Nanda Maharaj that this particular year, very, very auspicious for marriage. We should get all the gopas married to gopis. Nanda Maharaj consulted with Purnamasi, Shri Guru of Braj Bhumi. She said, yes, this is correct. We should have big, big marriages. So young gopas married young gopis. Now all the gopis, to their heart's great desire, the fulfillment was achieved. They all married Krishna. But they didn't know he was Krishna. But they loved him as they loved Krishna. Because although Krishna was in all these different forms of all these different gopas, he manifested this all-attractive beauty in each of them, in different ways. So Srimati Radharani married Abhimanyu. In Bengal, he is called Ayan Ghosh. Abhimanyu was the expansion of Krishna's shadow. For one full year, Abhimanyu, in the form, or Krishna, in the form of Abhimanyu, lived in this very place called Yava, which is the home of Abhimanyu and his mother, Jyotila, and sister, Kutila. At the end of the year, when Brahma surrendered to Krishna, realizing his supreme glory, Lord Brahma considered himself so insignificant, like a firefly in the presence of the sun. He brought back all the cowherd boys and all the calves. At that time, the cowherd boys and the calves, they understood their position, that they were simply meant to somehow or other increase the loving exchanges of Radha and Krishna. So Abhimanyu, who is Krishna's expansion, he existed only for that purpose of increasing the excitement of the ras for the meetings and the separations of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. As did Jyotila and Kutila. Now when we hear these stories, we should never take them to be anyone ordinary. Because if you commit any offense to them, that is very, very bad Vaishnava Purana. We should worship their lotus feet and understand how dear they are to Krishna for creating such a stage of exciting pastimes for him. There are many wonderful pastimes. One is described by Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion. So at one time, you see, Jyotila and Kutila, they were always trying to keep Krishna away from Srimati Radharani. That was their service. Somehow or other, keep Radharani away from Krishna. And they would chastise Krishna and sometimes call Krishna bad names. One time Jyotila called Krishna a black snake. And Krishna said, yes, and with my fangs I will bite you. And then Krishna told Uddhava that actually the chastisement of these gopis is more pleasing to my heart than the praises and glorification of the great rishis and sages. Because it's pure love, with the pure desire to please Krishna. On one occasion, Abhimanyu went to the market to buy some cows. He selected nice cows. And in the afternoon, he came back to get some coins to purchase the cows. Meanwhile, by Krishna's arrangement, he spread a rumor in Javat that Krishna's coming in the disguise of Abhimanyu to see Srimati Radharani. When Jyotila and Kutila heard this, they stood at the gateway of the village with sticks. They were determined that Krishna was not even going to have a moment's glance upon Srimati Radharani. So Abhimanyu came, not expecting anything. As soon as Abhimanyu arrived, Jyotila Kutila started screaming at him, "Get out of here! We know that who you are! We know that you're Krishna in disguise! Get away from here or we'll beat you with these sticks! Get out! Get out! Get out!" As they were saying this, the whole village of Jawat was in an uproar. "Get out of here! Get out of here!" Abhimanyu didn't know what in the world was happening. So he tried to explain, "I just came back to get some money for the cows to buy." They said, "Get out, get out, we know your tricks. We know your cunningness, Krishna, get out of here now." So he ran away. Meanwhile, from another direction, Lord Sri Krishna came, perfectly disguised as Abhimanyu. And Jyotila and Kutila, when they saw him, their hearts were overwhelmed with parental affection. And they embraced Krishna. They said, "Oh, Abhimanyu, we're so happy to see you. You know, Krishna just came and he was disguised as you, but we drove him out of this village." "Now, how can we please you? Radharani is waiting for you." Krishna said, "It is an auspicious day for Radharani to perform the puja to Goddess Mangaldevi. She should fast today, and she should go to the temple, and she should worship throughout the day and throughout the night." This was Krishna in the form of Abhimanyu's instruction to Mother. So Mother said, "All right, that is very good. Whatever pleases you, my son." So she sent Srimati Radharani to the Mangaldevi temple to do her prayers throughout the day and night. And when she arrived, Lalita, Visakha, the gopis, and Krishna appeared, and they performed Rasleela throughout the night. On another occasion, Krishna was actually here in the forest close by to Jawat, and he was meeting with Srimati Radharani. And Abhimanyu came down. Kutila and Jyotila, they were telling Abhimanyu, "We have heard that Krishna is in the forest with your wife, Srimati Radharani. You think she's very chaste, but this is what we have been told. You should go immediately and see for yourself." So he came running into the village. Srimati Radharani saw that he was coming and she became very much afraid. Where were they going to go? Krishna said, "Do not worry, I will protect you. You just stand as you're standing." She was in the middle of offering something to Krishna. He said, "You just stay just as you are." So then Srimati Radharani saw Abhimanyu coming. He came right in front of them. He looked at them. Then he bowed down his prostrated obeisances. Srimati Radharani turned around and she saw that Krishna had assumed the form of Goddess Kali. So Abhimanyu was thinking that Radharani is worshipping a deity of Kali to help her to better please her husband. So he was ready, he offered his obeisances. So in honor of that pastime, in this little temple close by, I think it's closed due to repairs, there's a deity of Kali Mata. Her name is Kali Krishna. It's Krishna in the guise of Kali Mata. When Durvasa Muni came to Braja, he
He's such a very awesome looking mystic that all gopis ran away when they saw him. But Srimati Radharani stayed and offered prayers and offered gifts to him. So he gave Sri Radharani the benediction that whatever you cook will taste sweeter than nectar, and whoever eats your food will always remain young and healthy. So when Yashoda Mai, Purnamasi, and the elder gopis, Ananda Maharaj, heard this, it was their order that Srimati Radharani cook for Krishna every day. Later on, we'll be going to the place where she cooked for Krishna, Pavan Sarovar. Now, the nectarine service of Jyotila, the mother-in-law of Srimati Radharani, was to somehow or other keep Krishna away from Srimati Radharani. So sometimes she would make plans to stop her from coming, from going to Pavan Sarovar to cook. So Dinabandhu Prabhu is so eager to tell this story. In fact, at the very beginning, when we came to Javat, he said, Maharaj, I want to tell this story. But I started to just tell you, just to demonstrate to all of you how eager he is to speak Harikatha. And actually, whatever I have spoken is just an introduction to Dinabandhu Prabhu to tell this wonderful pastime. Jai Jai Shri Hare!
So actually, we should never... I have to tell the story in English. You should never feel envy toward Jatila, Kutila, Abhimanyu. They're simply there to increase the rasulas of the pastimes. Just like last week we came here with the Gurukul boys. So how to explain this to them? So I said, just like now Diwali's coming, and your teachers will take you up on the roof of the Gurukul and shoot off fireworks and firecrackers. But it's much more fun to sneak down in the hallway and set them up. It's much more fun to go down in the hallway, sneak down in the hallway and set them off in the hallway. So like that, just to make the pastimes more joyful, to increase the rasulas. So this is Jatila's and Kutila. Jata, you know, you have to understand Jatila's name. You know Jata? It's like all these sadhus you see in Braj, they have their hair all piled up and mixed with tree sap and so many things, you know. You see all the ladies are just going, oh. So that's called Jata. All twisted and turned like that. So that's Jatila. Her mind is completely twisted and turned. And her daughter's name is Kutila. You know, Ku also means crooked. So Kutila and Jatila, they consulted one another. Everybody in the whole of Braj is discussing about Radharani and Krishna. We have to stop this anyway, anyhow. We have to stop this. Our whole family name is being ruined. So what can we do? So then Jatila said, well, we simply cannot let Radharani leave this place. And Kutila says, but every day she has to go and cook for Krishna. So anyway, you have to go tell Mother Yashoda that it can't, if she wants Radharani to cook for Krishna, she's going to cook here. She can send her servant to pick up. So I have to tell that to Mother Yashoda. Anyway, then I'll go there and explain it to her. So Jatila herself, she went there.
And she explained, there's simply no way Radharani is going to leave Yavat. If you want anything, you send your servant Guru. She'll cook there and she can bring it back. But she can't leave. Our family name is being destroyed. Everyone talking, every whole village is talking. So when Radharani heard this, that she cannot leave Javat, this whole place became like a deep, dark, damp dungeon. She was completely disheartened, and she was just burning in the Viraha Agni, the fire of separation. The gopikas, they would make beautiful beds with sandalwood paste and beautiful flowers, just like this season we have, this is kunda flowers. In the cold season comes kunda flowers, and summer season we get dela and mogra. But this is kunda flower. So very soft flowers like that, covered with sandalwood paste. As soon as Srimati Radhika would lie on those beds of soft flowers and sandalwood paste, poof! That sandalwood paste would turn to powder, the beautiful soft flowers would just crackle up and turn into dust. She was so much burning with the fire of separation. Practically she was unconscious. She was just lying there completely, no color in her face, completely, practically unconscious. So one day, Mother Yasoda sent Dhanista to tell Radharani to make some laddu. So Dhanista came in, she saw the condition of Radharani. She just ran over and said, "Hey, Rani, look, your Shyam Sundar standing right before you, right in front of your eyes." Immediately, Radharani, she stood up, she sat up from the bed and looked around. And Dhanista said, "Quick, Mother Yasoda sent me. Krishna wants, Kaneya wants some beautiful laddus to be made right away." So then Radharani, she came out here to the courtyard and went over to the kitchen. Then Dhanista began to whisper something in her ear. And Dhanista went away and Radharani was cooking. Suddenly Radharani screamed and fell down. Boom! Completely unconscious. And Lalita came running before, Lalita Visakha came running before Mother Jatila. And they just began rolling on the ground and crying. And Jatila, she came running out to the courtyard. She saw Radharani was practically lifeless, just lying there on the ground. So, "Oh no, immediately, we have to go get the doctor. We have to bring the doctor immediately." Radharani said, "No doctor will ever come here. You always talk about me and other men. If any man comes here to touch me, then I will just leave my body by myself." "But this is an emergency. How can you say this? We have to save you." He said, "You guys, you always talk about me and men. No man will come here. You find a female doctor, or there's no man is ever going, I will just leave my body." "No, no, but this is an emergency. Oh, what are we going to do?" And they ran out. And they said, now what are we going to do? So just then, Champaka Lata said, "My cousin's sister, Gargi, just brought her sister, Vijayeshwari, from Mathura." Because Gargi is the daughter of Gargamuni, Gargarishi. So her sister, Vijayeshwari, is married in Kashi, a very learned Brahmin family. And she's the older sister of Gargi, so maybe she knows those, maybe she learned those mantras from Gargarishi. Let's go and see. So they all run to Champakalata's house and they meet Gargi and Vijayeshwari. And they explain the situation, and Vijayeshwari says, "Yes, well, my father did teach me those mantras. But there's one problem. My father married me to a very, very aristocratic Brahmin family in Kashi. And I have heard all about your daughter-in-law and this Krishna. If my name in any way got mixed up with that, my father-in-law would never let me in the house. If my father-in-law doesn't let me in the house, my own father won't let me back in the house. I'll be ruined.
I cannot possibly, I know these mantras, but I cannot possibly go, no, 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 we'll protect you, don't worry. And if that lumpet and comfort, that lusty man ever looked on me, said his glance on me, I will simply die. No, 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 we'll surround you, we'll make sure he never comes. You please, you make some exception somehow or other. Otherwise she's going to die, our daughter-in-law's going to die, you have to save her. Well, Vijayashu said, if you make very, very careful arrangements that I can go, but you have to completely surround me, if that lumpet and comfort comes. No, 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 don't worry about anything, we'll completely surround you. So they brought Vijayashwari here to Javat. And she saw Srimati Radhika lying there, practically lifeless. So first she began to massage the lotus feet of Srimati Radhika. And gradually she began to move higher and higher until she came just near the heart. And she said, no, this poison has risen. It was bitten on the foot, but this poison has moved all the way up almost to the heart. And it's a very, very dangerous poison. I know one method my father taught me. Now, it's a little strange. I hope you don't mind. But I will have to chew betel nut. After chewing that betel nut, I will chant mantras and place that betel nut into the mouth of your daughter-in-law. I hope you don't mind. It's a little strange. But Jatila said, well, anyway, we honor the uchista of the brahmanas. We're gopas. We're in the Gopa caste, so we honor the remnants of the Brahmanas. I don't... Anything that will save our daughter, you do it. So then Vijayashwari, she chewed on those betel nuts. And she chanted very beautiful mantras and put her mouth over the mouth of Srimati Radhika and transferred those betel nuts to her mouth. But nothing happened. Then Vijayashwari said, this is a very, 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 very dangerous snake. I know one way that my father has taught me. But to chant that mantra, I need at least 3 hours of complete silence. If anything distracts me, then I'll have to start over, and we don't have much time because the poison's already risen to our heart. So you all have to leave this room. Don't even stand by the door. I have to have complete silence. Only after 3 hours you even dare to come near this door. So then everybody went out the door and Vijayashwari locked the door from inside. Everyone went away. So I guess you've understood who Vijayashwari is. Three hours, free time, nobody to disturb them. Radha and Krishna enjoy the most wonderful, glorious pastimes for 3 hours, completely alone by themselves with no one to bother them. After 3 hours, Jatila, Kutila, everyone, they sort of carefully walk towards that door. As they stand outside the door, then suddenly they hear a voice. They hear Vijayashwari. Oh, you black snake! I have called you here. Now you please tell me, why did you bite this poor innocent girl? And then Vijayashwari began to imitate the voice of the snake. He said, you see, I have come from Kailash. Because my master is Lord Shiva, and his partial expansion, Durvasmuni, has been insulted because he gave benediction that Radharani could cook for Krishna. But Mother Jatila is stopping her from going to Nandagram. So my master, Lord Shiva, is very angry. But why did you bite this innocent young girl? Why did you bite? She wasn't her. It's not her fault. I considered that if I bit Jatila, she will suffer for just a few minutes. But if I bite her dear daughter-in-law, then she will suffer for the rest of her life. Is there any way you can take back this poison? Yes, I can take back this poison. But only if Jatila promises that she will never stop Radharani from going to Nandagram to cook for Nandananda. And she will never criticize Radharani or make stories about Radharani and Krishna. Oh, I promise! From behind the door, I promise! I promise! She can go every day, she can go, there's no problem. I'm never saying anything. Actually, it's just that I'm so old and senile, and it's... I know this Subhal, he only dresses up like Radharani and plays with Krishna and just makes me crazy. I know it's just that, but I'm just so shoggy and senile, I get crazy sometimes. I promise, I'll never say anything. I know it's just the tricks of Subhal. All right, I am taking back my poison. But if I ever hear, or if my master, Lord Shiva, hears that you stopped Radharani from going to Nandagram, or you criticize her, then I will come back here and I will bite both Abhimanyu and Radharani.
No, we promise, we'll be good, we promise.
So now I am taking back my poison. So then Bhadeshwari opened the door. I can imagine Radharani and Krishna enjoying blissful pastime through 3 hours without any disturbance. Radharani's cheeks are completely rosy. She's so bright and shining. All the color has come back. You know, life has come back. You know, because Krishna's her prananatha, lord of her life. So she's just in ecstasy, you know. And Mother Jatila comes in and she embraces Radharani. She embraces Vijayasvari. She tells Vijayasvari, now you please... And she tells Radharani, now you please give a big embrace to this Vijayasvari. She so kindly brought you back to life. So Radharani thinks within her mind that this is the same mother-in-law who makes so many impediments for me for meeting Krishna. She makes so much trouble. And now she's personally ordering me to embrace my pranana. So I will very chastely, as a good daughter-in-law, follow the order of my mother-in-law. And then she told Radharani that you please take that golden jewel locket from your neck and you put that around Vijayasvari's neck. So then Vijayasvari said, well, I guess I have to go. But by this time it was very late at night, and Mother Jatila said, no, don't go. It's very late now. And also, what would happen if there was a relapse? You know, you just stay the night here, just in case there may, you know, it's very late, you shouldn't go out in the forest at night. And we're also very afraid there may be some relapse, so you just stay here. We'll make a very nice arrangement up on the roof. We'll build a beautiful bed with a canopy. Both of you can sleep on the roof tonight without any disturbance. We'll put the beds right close together so you can both sleep right together on top of the roof tonight. Just stay here. I said, well, I guess it's late. You're right. We shouldn't go through the forest. And it's true, there could be a relapse. So, no, nobody will come up there and disturb you. You'll sleep very peacefully. So right on the roof here, underneath the beautiful stars, just like Some of us climbed on the top of the Gomasura Gufa and we saw so many beautiful stars. So just like under that beautiful canopy of stars, Radha and Krishna spent the whole night without any disturbance. So this here, the deities are Radha, Radhakant. And this has to be the most beautiful Radharani in all of Braj. She's so soft and golden colored. She has beautiful kajal around her eyes. So komal, so soft and sweet. You can see Radhakant, his eyes are popping right out of his head to see her beauty. Raghunath Das Goswami, he writes a very beautiful prayer that more or less, he must have come here and got inspiration to write this verse. He says, Gaurim rakta vararam yam sunetra susmitananam shamam suvistam sadikam radikam ashrayetsara. Gaurim rakta vararam yam. She's beautiful golden complexion, and she's dressed in very lovely reddish garments. Gaurim rakta vararam yam. Sunetra susmitananam. And not just eyes, but he says sunetra, beautiful eyes. Sunetra and susmitananam. She has beautiful type of smile called smita, but this is very sweet smile, so it's called susmita. Your lips are just about to part and you're about to see the beautiful pearly teeth peeking out from between. Susmitananam. Sunetra susmitananam, shamam savistam sarikam. Shamam, she's very, very simple. It's like all over Braj, you see boli gopi radhi radhi. She's very simple. But swavistam sarikam, she's very expert at getting her desire. Swavistam sarikam. It's like we're doing sadhana, no, to get some desired result. So sadhikam, swavistam, her desire, sadhikam, she can fulfill that desire very expertly. Radhikam ashrayechada. I eternally take shelter of the lotus feet of that Srimati Radhika. So just to fulfill our desires even more, I see that Radharani has sent one very wonderful Vaishnava, who probably knows another one of the wonderful pastimes that took place here in Javad. So I'd like to ask His Holiness Dandara Swami to come up here. And because most of these pastimes come from a very wonderful book by Viswanath Chakravarti Thakur called Chamatkar Chandrika. Moonbeams of sheer astonishment. Well, Maharaj is coming. I'll tell you another funny story. Because this Braj is such a wonderful place. My godbrother, Dasaras Sutta, sent me a book just recently. Some very, very ancient scriptures that he uncovered. And one is by one follower of Lord Chaitanya named Manohar Das. Now he writes that this Braj is pritimai. It is filled with affection. So much so that even those persons who are ordinary inimical to Radha and Krishna, they also become filled with affection through the influence of this place. So one time, Radharani was waiting in the kunj for Krishna and he didn't come at the appointed time. Finally, he came there very late at night and his clothes were a little disheveled. He had certain marks that obviously he was apparently with some other gopi. So Radharani just chastised him like anything and ran back here to Javad. So then Nandanandan, he came and he was just moving here and there in front of the house trying to get a glimpse. That time Jatila saw him and she became so overwhelmed with affection. She said, "Hey Nandanandan, what are you doing here?" Yeah, he said, "Well, one of my calves ran away from the herd and ran over in this direction." I said, "You have thousands and thousands of cowherd friends. You have hundreds and hundreds of servants. Any one of them can find that calf for you. Why have you come here personally?" actually, Abhimanyu has gone off today and nobody's milked the cows. Why don't you, more importantly, you come here and milk my cows for me. And she invited Krishna right in here to the courtyard to milk the cows. So Krishna was milking the cows. Then one of those cows, the calf kept running from this. Krishna was trying to milk, and the calf would come from this side, and Krishna would go there, then the calf would come, just giving so much trouble. So Jatila, she, hey Radhe, come down here and help. No, it's trying to milk the cow. You please hold the calf. So she called Radharani down here into the courtyard with Krishna, and Radharani pulled on the calf and kept him so Krishna could milk. So then Krishna milked the cow. He gave the matka, the pot of milk, to Mother Jatila. He said, well, I guess I should be going now. I got to go home back to Nandagram. He said, where do you think you're going? You sit down right here and drink some of this milk. And with great motherly affection, Mother Jatila, she fed that milk to Krishna. But she was very, she stopped before Krishna drank everything, and she gave the remnants of that to Srimati Radharani to drink. And Radharani drank it, and immediately so many thrill bumps appeared all over her body. So even this Braj is so pretty Maya, even those people who are ordinarily envious, they become also completely affectionate towards Sri Krishna. Sri Vrindavan Dhamma Ki.
Please welcome His Holiness.
I know that this Parikrama party is now on the platform of spontaneous devotional service, and that no matter what is imposed on them in terms of schedule and timings, they cannot be forced to meet any obligation, and according to their attachments and desires, they simply hear Krishna Katha and it goes way late into the night. But I am very, very much attached to Vaidhi Bhakti and the rules and regulations. So I feel very, very much obliged that we should try to keep to some schedule. So I will just say something just very, very briefly, because there's probably many places to see in Nandagram, and it will take way late into the night to see them all. So I'll just say something about the significance of this place, Jawat. I don't know how much was said before, but although it's not that frequented or visited as much as some of the other places like Govardhan and Radhakund and Barsana and Nandagram and Seva Kunj and Keshigat and so many places, still this is a very intimate and sacred place. Srila Rupa Goswami in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he gives three verses which describe Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And the first verse describes Seva Sadhana Rupena Siddha Rupena Chatrahi. That a very, very advanced Vaishnava, he may follow or meditate on following a resident of Vrindavan to perfect his life. Sadhaka Rupena, Siddha Rupena. As a practitioner means a perfected soul in Gaur Leela, like Srila Rupa Goswami. Because he was perfected soul, but in the form or meditation of one practicing Krishna consciousness, And Siddharupena means in the unmanifested pastimes in Braja as one of the gopis. Rupa Goswami was Sri Rupa Manjari. So there's a Siddharupena, and the significance of this place is that in our sampradaya, in our line, that practically all the acharyas who have revealed, not all of our acharyas have revealed their Siddharup, their perfected form in Krishna Lila, but all the acharyas that have revealed their perfected form, they were all residents of this place in Jalat. They all lived here so that they can serve Srimati Radharani. So this is a very, very significant place. And we know in the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his very very, very spontaneous and perfected and advanced prayers, his prayer was that he can be born here and so that he can serve Srimati Radharani. And I guess probably His Grace Dinabandhu has already given a geography lesson that Nandagram is in the center. And then to one side is Jalat. What side is this?
This is northwestern side.
Northwestern side. The other side is Bharsana. And Srimati Radharani would live 6 months in Bharsana. What months are those? Is that the...
Right now she's here.
Right now she's here. And then 6 months in Jalat. And we will go to Ter Kadamba, and that's also a very special place because that is right in between Nandagram and Jalat. So those pastimes are described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj, that Srimati Radharani would come every day in that path to go to Nandagram to cook for Krishna. So this is a very, very special place. So I will end speaking here, very strictly following the schedule and rules.